Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Lucas McCurdy and Joshua Crisp, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by Markentum.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast. We have another great episode here. We are live in Tennessee, which this is my first time ever in Knoxville. This is where you live, Josh.
My hometown. We're on my turf now. Glad to have you here. Yes. As long as we've known each other, this is your first time being here. So welcome.
Thank you.
So good to have you here.
Welcome me.
We get to hang out all day. So this is awesome.
Well, and then the icing on the cake is that, so we've kind of shaken the trees. Who's in the Knoxville area? Who can we talk to? And one of my favorites is Summer Blizzard. Summer, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you guys so much for allowing me to be here. So super excited.
Yes. So Summer, tell us a little bit about just your involvement, where you're working now, and kind of what has, led and driven your passion to get into working with seniors.
Yeah, so I have been working in the senior housing market now for about 8 years. I actually started my career in the acute side of the business. So I actually worked for a healthcare system in a hospital. And about 8 years ago, I had the opportunity to move to Louisville, Kentucky, and join a senior housing company that was based out of Louisville. And I spent about 8 years with that company. And then, of course, Josh and I graduated from the same high school, believe it or not.
Yeah, but don't tell them, how many years after I graduated, you graduated, please. So
it's kind of funny. Yeah, so we actually grew up in the same small town, super small town in East Tennessee, not far from here.
Hold on. Wait a minute. We can't just gloss over that.
Yeah, we can just cruise on by this.
Yeah. So is there any dirt on Josh that our listeners need to know about? What kind of impact did he have there? Has he just always been the nice, genuine guy that we know today?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's, who knows? We'll have to do some digging. We'll save that for after.
Yes. Okay. That's an unrated version of the show. We don't need to go there.
Okay, listeners, go to social media and start asking your questions. We need to really pump Josh for this. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's good. So I spent 8 years. I'm with a senior housing company in Louisville. And then actually, at the beginning, kind of the end of last year, beginning of this year, my husband and I decided that we wanted to relocate back to East Tennessee to be closer to my family and stuff like that. So I, in February of this past year, I joined Morning Point Senior Living. Morning Point is an owner-operator that's based out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we currently today have 30 assisted living and memory care communities in 5 states. And we're growing. So we've got a couple under development right now, looking to break ground on some more. So it's been fun, exciting year. But I'll tell you, I actually never dreamed that I would ever be in senior housing. So I stumbled upon the job that I got 8 years ago. And honestly, I will tell you, I probably went into it thinking this may be a short term, fix until I get to the next step in my career. And here I am 8 years later, and I can tell you I probably will never leave the industry. I love it. So,
wow.
Cool.
So, Summer, I know Lucas said we were shaking trees and whatever that means, but we were shaking
That's
trees
what we do in Florida.
Yeah. But, for as long as I can remember since we started the podcast, I've said, we've got to have Summer on. We've got to have Summer. You're a thought leader. You're an influencer in the space. I love personally keeping up with you on social media. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a cheat session because I get to see what's cutting edge just by watching her social media. So you need to follow her if you're not. But you have been involved in conferences. You've had your pulse on the industry, and I think in many ways shaping the next generation of leaders and the workforce. And you've been able to speak at colleges. I think you have an intern working with you. So, I think today it would be great for us to talk a little bit about kind of specifically your experience, where your passion is, and kind of what you've been doing to kind of shape the next generation of the workforce.
Yeah. So I, you know, a couple of years ago, I really became attracted and passionate about this whole issue of the next generation workforce. So where are they coming from? And also just the stigma that sticks with the senior housing industry. I would find myself talking to friends and telling them, you know, I'm pretty passionate and energetic about my career and what I do. And so I would find myself talking to them and telling them what I did, and then they would always be like, wow, like, you guys do that? Like, a couple of weeks ago we had a cornhole tournament and there was some 85 and even upwards to 100 year old residents playing cornhole. I mean, cutthroat competitive cornhole. And when you tell people that, they're like, you know, that really goes on? Like, and yeah, it does. And so it became, you know, I have fell into line with a couple of times where, you know, I've talked to universities and colleges and professors, and they see the passion, I think, and they say, hey, you know, I didn't even realize necessarily as a professor at a business school that this really, there's demand here. Like, my students may be interested in that. Would you come talk to us? So I've spent some time over the past couple of years just doing that, just going out and just talking, and not necessarily to nursing students. I think that there is definitely that area as well where we need to spread the word and help break that stigma with our healthcare students and stuff. But I think even just business schools, you know, people who may be interested in real estate or development, getting them involved and aware of the opportunity that's out there. So a couple of weeks ago, actually, I had the opportunity to attend something that was called Meet the Firms. And it was a local university, and their business school hosted it. And so what they did was they invited all these different companies to come in, and you could basically give your pitch to business students. And it was like juniors and seniors, kids that are starting to look for internship opportunities and stuff like that. And so it was so funny. I remember that they started out in this large auditorium with all these students, and you had 60 seconds to give your pitch about who you are, who your company is, and what you do, right? And so the group that went before us was the FBI. Oh. So I'm like, and so all these students are like, oh, wow, FBI, that's really cool. And then next was me. So so then everybody was like, eh. Well, after that, they broke you out into these small groups, and you had 7 minutes to give, again, to give your pitch, and then they had the opportunity to ask questions. The really neat ending to this story is, at the end of the night, they had a pizza party, and all the students were able to hang around and ask questions to the vendors that were there. I had a line of students waiting for me, and these were business students, and they were waiting for me because they had so many questions, because they had no idea. There was a lot of guys who were interested in analytics, and they said, wow, I had no idea that I could do like data analytics and programming in this type of industry. And so anyway, so I'm, you know, I've really tried to get out there. I think that we, you know, I'm not a recruiter, I'm not an HR specialist, but I feel like we all play a role in spreading the word, getting it out there, that the opportunity that's available in our space.
You're totally right. We've talked about this, probably sounding like a broken record to our listeners that listen often every week, but yeah. I firmly believe we've not done a great job at telling our industry story. You know, the few bad stories that go national, that's what you hear about, and that's right. What people kind of shape their opinion on.
Perception.
Yeah, the perception. Mm-hmm. So it's while it's something we haven't done well, in my opinion, it's a huge opportunity. And doing grassroots, like what you're talking about, I would consider that grassroots. It's just where you are, mm-hmm. telling your story. That's awesome. And, you know, you and I were also talking, Summer, before this, of talking about another one of our podcasts where we had the opportunity to interview some millennial workforce, some nurses that were just graduating. And it was fascinating to me when I asked them the question of what's motivating you, what is enticing, and what are you looking for, you know, in an employer, what's attractive to you. And their answers weren't exactly what, you know, an employer might think. So what are you hearing? Like, what's motivating this millennial workforce as they're getting out and looking for jobs?
Yeah. So I think one of the number one things that I believe is I think millennials and even like, what is it? Gen Z, I think is like the next generation after that, which is like some of probably these college students that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, right now I've got a 19-year-old college sophomore who works for me. And so, and she's awesome. She's a rock star. You guys will probably be lining up to interview her in the next couple of years. Like, she's great. But I think that one of the things, you know, when talking to her that she's interested, and actually I'm a millennial myself as well, believe it or not. So one of the things that I think even interests me to this industry is, and to companies and to the company that I work for, is basically the passion and the purpose. So when I go to work every day, you know, I'm not a caregiver, so I'm not providing that direct care and stuff like that. But I know that the things that I do or the things that she's doing when she's putting together spreadsheets or analytics and looking at different stuff, it's making – there's a purpose behind that, and it's understanding the why. And I think that senior housing is the perfect industry for millennials, because a lot of times millennials, they're looking for that purpose. They're not looking for that big, fat paycheck necessarily. Obviously, yes, we all want to get paid, and we all want to, you know, do well and stuff like that, but we want to do well by doing good. Is what I say. So I think that, you know, companies really need to make sure that we're putting that out there. We're talking about it. We're advertising. And not even just from an external marketing standpoint, but also looking at how are you doing it. What's the culture in your company like right now for your current associates? A couple years ago at the previous company I was at, you know, I noticed that there was a, I worked at the home office, and the company I worked for, we didn't have a lot of local communities, okay? So we are, unfortunately, our associates didn't have the opportunity to get out into communities and to see firsthand basically what the why. So the why we were a senior housing company and stuff. Why are they processing payroll? Why are they doing accounts payable? So I felt like there was a disconnect there for a while of understanding who our customer is. So one of the things that we did, it was very inexpensive, was I had this idea to do an art gallery at our home office. So we had like this one huge wall at the home office, and we called it the Here's to Life Art Gallery. And basically we went out to all of our communities, and we you know, collected art that from residents or from group art projects that they did, and we put it on display in our home office. And each of those pieces of art told a story. And I can't tell you how, after we did that art gallery, I would have associates, like, you would notice, like, people would be reading and they would talk about it in the office. Oh, wow, did you hear about this lady? Look at that. Can you believe she did that? Like, it's gorgeous. Or we had pottery and different kind of stuff. But I think that that's just one example of, again, trying to remind people the purpose, the why. And I think that the younger generation, that's what they're looking for, or one of the things they're looking for is a purpose and a why.
I totally agree with you. We've talked about that a little bit, haven't we, Lucas? And understanding the why. And I think what you've just mentioned, I think a lot of times we get caught up in it has to be a robust program that's thousands of dollars. Right. And, you know, that may be easy for the big companies with multiple communities to do. But what you're saying, these are things that even a mom and pop, you know, a one single community that has the owner as the operator. So that's really awesome. So you're obviously in a space where you have multiple communities, you have a lot of influence, you have a big infrastructure. For you all, what would you say, and I'm putting you on the spot here, but what would be like top three initiatives for you right now in your company to kind of move into the future of tapping into that younger generation and kind of bridging that gap with the older generation?
Top three initiatives. Well, I mean, overall, just looking at our staffing and the culture in general, we're looking a lot at scheduling. So do we provide consistent schedules? Are we flexible? Are we going after it? Because, you know, again, going back to millennials and students and stuff like that, obviously students, they have, you know, their schedules change from, you know, season to season. So are we looking at, I do believe we need consistent scheduling, because you've got your full-time associates who, you know, they need that consistent scheduling. But then again, how can you maintain that by being accommodating to those students? Are you working with colleges? Are you having them come in and do clinical rotations in your buildings? If you're not, you should. It's definitely something you should be doing. So I definitely think that's one of the things. The other thing is technology. So we have recently in the past couple of years invested heavily in technology. And I think that that's another thing, you know, with millennials and the next generation is, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine and her daughter's getting ready to graduate nursing school next week. And she was telling me, she was like, to me, it's crazy because, you know, I actually haven't been out of school too long, or at least it doesn't feel like it's been too long. But even when I was in school, we had books. Like, you know, I did do some stuff on computers. But today in school, these students that coming out of nursing school or, again, anything else, not just nursing business or whatever, they rarely have books. Like, most of their stuff is done on a computer. So how, you know, if you don't have an electronic medical record system, how are you going to get that nurse who's coming out of college, who doesn't even, probably rarely uses paper, and bring her, how are you going to attract her to your building when you don't have that? So I think technology is a big one, and we're looking at ways of how we can, you know, utilize that technology to make our lives easier, not more complicated, because sometimes you can overcomplicate things with technology. And then also we're just, you know, right now we're doing a big, pump. It's called the Year of the Associate. Mm-hmm. So how can we show appreciation to those associates and listening to them? Are you doing your associate surveys? Mm-hmm. It's one thing to do an associate survey. It's another thing to act upon that survey. And sometimes I tell companies, because I've been with companies before, that you kind of get stuck in the rut. You go through the motions. Yeah, oh, it's annual survey time. We go to survey, get feedback from our associates. But then what happens after that? Mm-hmm. So you have to listen, because I feel like too many times, if you want to know what people want, just ask. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell you.
Sure.
Sure.
So a lot of different things you touched on there, going back to the staffing and the communication and flexibility, you know, diving into the weeds here for a minute, mm-hmm. real world example, at one of the communities that I was managing a few years back, we were really trying to make inroads into the younger workforce that was coming right out of school. Mm-hmm. Or in school doing clinicals, and they wanted to be doing some caregiving. And then we had a much more seasoned clinical directors, mm-hmm. That had a certain way of communicating, a certain rigid schedule. And then us as the managers, we're sitting there and we're stuck in the middle. And, you know, I always play on words here with Bridge the Gap, but we needed a bridge to gap this divide, because, you know, for example, the clinical director, you know, has an 8-hour shift or a 12-hour shift, and they'll only allow those shifts, and they'll only communicate by email or a 3-ring binder. And the young student is, if they don't get a text message, an email, they'll never respond to, you know. Sure. That's kind of what was happening here. So have you seen strategies or technologies or both that help to ease that and really truly bridge that gap between maybe an older generation that has communicated this way for a long time and this young generation that has a whole new way of communicating, transmitting information? Sure. Where can we find a happy medium there?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, it is. It's that, you're right. That's a real world scenario. And actually, we're going through something very similar right now. Actually, when I go back to the office, I'll probably be looking at some emails that'll be dealing very similar to that. And, you know, I think sometimes it just comes back to the good old stand-up meetings, even sometimes with the communication. I mean, whether you text message, whether you're writing in a chart, it just sometimes that human interaction and having that, you know, that face-to-face connection and connectivity. I think also just making sure that you're building those relationships. So sometimes it's real easy to get stuck in those ruts where you're constantly, okay, well, we got to do this day in and day out. But looking at, are you providing opportunities for team building where those people can build those relationships? Because sometimes I think, and actually a lot of times I think, that where that communication breakdown happens and that not understanding, oh, I want to text, oh, I want to write a note in the char kind of thing, it's just because of the relationship's not there. Mm-hmm. So I think making sure that your leadership team, that they're being leaders, that they're providing those team building activities, which I think is something else that millennials love, mm-hmm. is that they love that, they like that interaction and that opportunity to work together as a team for a common goal. And so one of the things we used to do a lot of volunteer activities together outside of work. So we would get our teams together and we would allow them to choose activities that they may be interested in, and we'd go work together. So it's tough, though. It is tough. We've got a scheduling system right now where people can text, mm-hmm. If they want to switch shifts and stuff like that. Our younger generation, newer nurses, they love it. Mm-hmm. We've got some more nurses that have been there forever that are awesome nurses and mm-hmm. awesome caregivers, but they don't like it.
Yeah.
For like what you just said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think one of the keys is it doesn't always have to be just one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's going to require some flexibility, some creativity, some willing to think outside the box for the operators, for the owners, for the developers, in really all areas. We do have some great advantages now with technology, mm-hmm. That's making things a little bit easier. So I've talked a little bit about some of the things like our challenges and things that maybe I don't think we're doing well, or threats or weaknesses. What do you see as some real good things that are taking place that you're starting to see in the industry? Because I know you are out there on the front lines at a lot of the conferences and getting to shape some of that. So what are some of the exciting things going on?
Well, I think that we're just starting to talk about it, number one. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got more and more operators out there that are recognizing it. They're talking about it. I know that I've actually talked to a lot of people who are doing exactly what I'm doing, which is a grassroots effort, mm-hmm. as you referred to it. And we're getting out there. We're talking to students. We're trying to get out there, to face it. And I think that that's one of the biggest things, is just making it known, and not just known with inside of our industry, right? So we all know it, okay, right? So we got to get outside of our comfort zone, outside of our box, and get out there. So I think that that's probably one of the biggest things that I'm noticing that's kind of moving forward.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I there's a lot of people now that I am hearing that, it's funny, are just now hearing about senior living.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a whole new world to them. I had an opportunity to speak to the University of Tennessee recently, and the majority of these students had never even heard of like senior housing. And like you alluded to in the beginning of our show, had no idea that there was multiple opportunities, mm-hmm. that you didn't just have to be a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so with the aging population, with the boom that's coming, I think the opportunity to do almost anything in senior housing, programming and services, mm-hmm. the sky's the limit. So I'm excited about the future.
Yeah.
Lucas, you come at this from a little bit different, sure. angle, because you've been in the construction side of it, serving the senior living community, the number one senior living fan. So what do you think about all this?
I'm a cheerleader for the industry, right? And so I'm soaking all this up, because senior living, it's a big, robust industry. It's not just real estate for the guys that are on the real estate, kind of that line item side. It's programs, it's activities, it's care, it's operations. That, to me, it just screams like we need a lot of different people with a lot of different skill sets that come in. And so I find it fascinating, y'all's stories about talking with the younger generation and just opening their eyes to, wait, there's more here than meets the eye. But the overarching theme that kind of is the umbrella is that no matter what your role is that I think that most people, they just want to feel like they're making an impact. And it's hard to find anybody that wouldn't have some bone of empathy in their body for our aging population. And there's just a really big impact there. And so some of the stuff that you're talking about is like, okay, operators, investors, owners, be sensitive to the friction points between the younger generation and the older generation about how they want to communicate. And that just, to me, there's a massive opportunity and shift with the technology, the way that we communicate, and the opportunity for the upper leadership, the C-level people. I think that there is a new dawn coming, and one of the reasons why I I think our relationship is so good, Josh, is because Josh is not afraid to put himself out there. Mm-hmm. He's not just away somewhere as like, I'm an investor and I'm just going to be this silent kind of thing. I'm going to drive narrative and culture. I'm going to put myself out there and let people mm-hmm. get to know me.
Right.
And so I'd love to get your feedback on that.
Yeah, no, that too. I think that, you know, and that's another big thing. Transparency, I think, is huge with the millennials. I mean, so I think I was reading a study the other day that said that we're like the least trusting generation there is. So like we question everything, right? Mm-hmm. So I think transparency, if you want to be an operator that's going to market the younger generation, you have to be transparent. Mm-hmm. So being open, transparent, all of those things are huge. And so I think that, yeah, I agree. I think yeah. it's great.
So one thing, so we talk a lot about the younger generation, bridging the gap to the older generation. I could probably go into a whole nother episode two here with Summer, but you know, one of the fascinating things I think we don't need to forget is with the aging population, there's a ton of older workforce right. that don't need to be forgotten. I was just at a community a couple weeks ago, and the bus driver was almost 80 years old mm-hmm. and happy as can be, mm-hmm. sharp as a tack, healthy, and you know, at first I was a little bit worried when I heard that, but then you see the guy and he's happy. And so he's not only living in the community, he's working in the community. So I think there's a lot of value on both ends, and we do have to have the flexibility. We have to be willing to adapt. Summer, have you had any experiences with dealing with the older workforce and any strategic things that you're working on?
Yeah, so currently right now, nothing strategic that really comes to mind. However, in the past, we did. So we actually, in the past, we had some properties that I worked with in Southern California. And there, we actually, in sunny San Diego, there was many people that I can think of that lived in the community and they worked in the community. And they loved it. And they were great associates and stuff. And so I think you're exactly right. I think that part of looking at the work, you know, the workforce and being flexible and stuff like that, mm-hmm. you also have to accommodate maybe some people that are going to be retired, mm-hmm. right? They're going to want to go and spend time with their grandkids. They want to go to Florida to see, you know, for the week or whatever it is. So I definitely think that it's, you're right, not forgetting about that end of the spectrum and that workforce as well, because I do think that that's going to be a huge opportunity.
It is. You know, we're in a senior living community today. You know, all of us are in senior living communities almost every day of our lives. We're podcasting from one today. I was back in the ice cream parlor. Yes, I was back in the ice cream parlor. I've already been given cookies here.
They smell wonderful.
Yeah, and they're wonderful. You have to try them. But there was a resident back there that was helping out in the ice cream parlor. And so you just look around at the wealth of opportunities to engage people mm-hmm. That are really, they've lived long lives. They've been blessed with life experiences and with health to live this long. So tapping into that resource, I think, is something that we can't ever forget to talk about on this podcast, Lucas.
It's an amazing conversation that I never get tired of having. And so having Summer here, it's just been a great conversation. Summer, thank you so much for taking time with us. It's been a fascinating topic and one that I know that we could go on and on and on about. So we look forward to staying connected with you. I love interacting with you at all the conferences that we go to. And so thank you so much for joining us on Bridge the Gap today. And the conversation doesn't end here. We'll be posting this on our social media. So if you have topics or discussions that you'd like to engage with us about, please hit us up on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, all the sites, and we'll make sure that we talk back with you. So thank you for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.